ABC News.
Kelly O'Dwyer is Minister for Jobs and Industrial Relations and Minister for Women, and she joins us now. Minister, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sandy.
A decrease of 1.1% over 2017-18 in the gender pay gap. Is that good enough?
Well, look, it's trending in the right direction, but I think we'd all acknowledge it's still too high. And it's one of the reasons that the government has provided the Workplace Gender and Equality Agency with additional funding to be able to measure the gender pay gap across a much broader cohort. Right now, it only measures the gender pay gap for around about 40% of the workforce. But with these changes, it will be able to actually measure it across about 75% of the workforce. And when you measure it, you can provide a greater mechanism for accountability. And there are some workplaces that don't fully understand that there is, in fact, a gender pay gap. And when they have that information, they can take action.
Does it frustrate you, though, Minister, to hear that Libby Lyons from the Workplace Gender Equality Agency says Australia is 50 years away from closing the gender pay gap? It not only frustrates me, it makes me feel angry.
Yes, well, I think she's also said that she thinks that she said there's a downward trend and we will be able to get to equality much more quickly as a result of some of these trends that we're now seeing. So I think that, you know, it is frustrating to think that there is a difference. And look, I think we have to look at some of the causes of the gender pay gap when we talk about this issue. We know that women tend to have a disproportionate share of unpaid caring and domestic work, and that can often be a decision that families take because it's right for their family. But sometimes it's not a decision that's taken because men who want to take more caring responsibilities don't feel that they can have the flexibility in their workplace to do that. Mm. Now, we're seeing an increasing number of policies now in workplaces that also provide that flexibility for men, but it's got to be more than just the policy. We want to see men actually taking up that opportunity. And when we see a change in the way that men and women embrace work and the flexibility for both men and women to work and also balance that with their caring responsibilities, we will see a change in the gender pay gap.
I see that four of the 19 industries looked at by the agency saw their gender pay gap actually widen in the recent year. This includes healthcare, which arguably is dominated by women. Do you think employers in this and those other industries think that just because they have a majority of women on staff, that they're not concerned by this?
Well, look, that's certainly the analysis of Libby Lyons, who heads up the Workplace Gender and Equality Agency, that some of those professions where there are lots of women think they mustn't have an issue when it comes to the gender pay gap. But she speculates that, for instance, in that example you've provided, that perhaps, you know, there are more men in management there and the women are actually in the lower paid roles, and that is one of the reasons why we see the gender pay gap, which is of course the difference between women and men's average weekly full-time base salary earnings expressed as a percentage of men's earnings. Mm. So it doesn't compare like for like roles, it presents on average the weekly full-time base salary earnings.
And Labor says it'll force companies with more than 1,000 workers to disclose gender pay gaps if it wins the next election. What is your government doing to address this issue?
Well, as I said, we've provided additional funding to the Workplace Gender and Equality Agency to actually cover a much broader cross-section of the workplace so that we can actually properly account for the gender pay gap. Already, as you see from today's announcement, we're seeing an industry-by-industry breakdown. Individual employers actually get the information about their workplaces. And while, you know, this issue of disclosure for individual workplaces is one that has recently been embraced by the UK, they've only just recently reported on 12 months of data, and we'll certainly monitor and see how that goes.
But don't you think, I'm sorry, Minister, to interrupt you, don't you think it's a good idea for companies to disclose the gender pay gaps in their companies rather than we really have no idea what's going on in them?
Well, no, we do have an idea because we do an industry by industry breakdown, and that's exactly what we're referring to today and what we're focused on with the information that's been provided. So there is a lot of disclosure around where there are gender pay gaps within specific industries. Employers know, and these are employers who obviously have more than 100 employees if they're covered by the legislation that we're talking about here with the reporting obligations. But, you know, in terms of individual employers, they can voluntarily disclose their gender pay gap, and some, of course, do that. But we're not going to be punitive here. We want to work together with employers to actually close the gender pay gap. We'll monitor what happens in the United Kingdom. We'll see if it does make a measurable difference, and if it does, we'll reevaluate.
So just finally, does it frustrate you as a woman that we're still talking about this in 2018?
Well, I think a lot of women will be pretty frustrated hearing this, but it's important that we do talk about it, and it's important that we do measure it. And if we measure it, we can actually put in practical measures that can deal with it. And I'm delivering a Women's Economic Security Statement next week at the National Press Club, and I'll be talking about a number of those practical measures.
All right, Minister. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks very much, Sandy.
Kelly O'Dwyer there, Minister for Jobs and Industrial Relations and Minister for Women.
ABC News.